Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome back to our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island. Our very own Larry King is back. Welcome, Larry. Nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here. It's fun to see the new facilities and some of the changes you made. And it's
right.
An exciting place to be.
It is an exciting place to be. WCRI is going strong, as we say. And Larry is a familiar voice to all of you that listen to WCRI. You hear him here on the air, and every once in a while we like to bring him into the studio and get a little behind-the-scenes look in Larry's life. So we're going to talk about how he grew up, the first woman he dated. No, we're not going to talk about any of that, no. Actually, what we did last year was Larry came in after a trip that he took with your son, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you've done that again this year, just returning from Spain.
That's correct. Yeah, last year we went to Prague and Vienna, Salzburg, and Munich, and this year we went to Spain. And we traveled together, and we traveled together very well.
And get along.
Well, as I say, I was a single parent, and I must have done something right. I'm not sure what it is. I have a vague idea, but
yeah,
no, we get along.
Well, we're probably both lucky in that vein. I have one son also, and we get along very well. So it's that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about going to Spain. I know that you've had extensive travels through Europe, and this sounds like an exciting trip that you took.
It was. We left Boston, flew into Seville, and we were there for 2 nights. And then we took the train to Cordoba, which is close to Seville, there for 2 nights. And there from then we went to Madrid for 4 nights and concluded in Barcelona.
Wow. All right. So let's take that in kind of a chronological order.
Sounds good.
You got on the plane in Boston and landed over there, and then everything went perfectly, right?
Yeah, not exactly.
As usual.
The airline managed to lose the luggage for about 3 days.
Wow.
So it was a little tight.
On a 6-day trip, you had 3 days of no luggage, right? Wow. That's
more
great.
Like 2 weeks, but yeah, it was a little daunting, but it's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a sort of a change of clothes. My son didn't, so he used to hose himself down. I could be presentable.
Now, did you stay in regular, what we call traditional hotels, or was
I booked the hotels and the transfers and the air service and the train tickets through a travel agent, and David does the itinerary.
Okay.
So we stayed in not fancy hotels, but very comfortable hotels, 3-4-star hotels, and
what most of our listening audience would consider a normal hotel,
nothing fancy.
Yeah, not
one no
way
spas.
Or the other.
Okay. I just want to sleep.
That's right. Just need the bed. And you didn't rent motor scooters.
No, did not. We took public transportation.
Okay.
And my son had it all figured out. The buses and the subways and the trains.
Mm-hmm. And this was an opportunity to see the sights in Seville, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Seville actually is a capital in the southern part of Spain, the capital of Andalusia. It's a region famous for its flamenco dancing.
Aha.
And there's actually a neighborhood that specializes in flamenco dancing. And some of the other major landmarks is the Alcazar Castle Complex, which was built during the Moorish dynasty. Of course, the Moors lived in Spain, as did the Sephardic Jews. There's the 18th century Plaza de Toros, which was the bull ring, which we didn't see. We have no interest in bullfighting. And just fighting to get our luggage.
Right. And were you there during the running of the bulls? Is that?
No, that's in Pamplona.
Okay.
Yeah, that was made famous by...
That time, right time of year, though, right?
Well, actually, it's a little sooner.
Was it sooner than you went?
Yeah, sooner in Pamplona, right. Yeah. And Some of the other things in Seville are the Gothic Cathedral and the site of Christopher Columbus's tomb.
Hmm.
And there was a minaret, which was part of a Muslim facility, and that uh-huh. turned into a bell tower. So,
okay.
So what happened is over a period of time, the Moors came, and then the Jews came, and then the Christians came in. Everybody got along, and then I guess they decided to change things around. So they threw the Moors out and made the Jews convert to Catholicism, and it became what it is.
Right. Okay.
And it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we get to a piece of music just to get us in the mood a little bit?
Sure.
You brought several recordings that have some obviously Spanish influence. Tell us about this first one.
Well, this first one is a guitarist named Xavier Coll, and he plays a selection from Itzhak Albéniz. It's called Sevilla or Seville. We know it is Seville, but in fact it's said or pronounced Sevilla. So yes, this is a good piece of music to start out and enjoy tonight.
Here we go. Thank you. That music gets us in the mood as we continue our Travels with Larry. What a great name for a program.
Yeah, there you go.
We could make this like a weekly special, Larry.
Sure. I'd be sent all over the place.
You'd have to do a lot of commuting to get down here.
Yeah, but, probably make it to Block Island.
Right, there you go.
Westerly.
Now, your home base is in Massachusetts.
Yes, yeah.
In Sudbury? Or
no, I live in Duxbury.
Duxbury. Duxbury. I knew it was a Berry thing.
Yeah, it is a Berry thing.
It's a Berry thing.
It's right next to Plymouth.
Duxbury, yeah.
And next year, Plymouth is celebrating their 400th anniversary, so
right,
they're busy tearing up the roads.
Yeah,
and putting in lots of, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
and that's when the Pilgrims landed. Although, really, they landed in Duxbury, but they landed on an island with this huge rock. It's called Sabbath Rock. They had come over from Provincetown. Let's give them credit. They landed in Provincetown and Eastham, and then they kind of crash landed into Clark's Island, but it wasn't the mainland. So
Plymouth takes credit for the
yes.
stepping on the mainland.
Yeah, that's the mainland. That's the mainland two-step.
History with Larry. There you go. All right. Well, let's get back to Seville and tell us a little bit more about Seville.
Well, Seville is noted for its flamenco dancing, which is I refer to as Spanish step dancing, but it's a lot more complicated than that. We didn't really see a concert. A performance of Spanish step dancing, if you will, the flamenco. We saw that in Cordoba.
I think I would be afraid to do that because I would get the thorn stuck in my mouth from the rose, right? You always see them?
Yeah, you do, yes. Well, it is true. I mean,
yeah, really?
It is true, yeah. But
okay.
They have a lot of costumes, a lot of fun. We saw a concert in Cordoba, which was the next stop up. We did see a lot of the other things in Seville, and we were kind of relaxed because we had arrived over. These mm-hmm. are smaller cities. There's not that much to see. And we were kind of recovering from jet lag a little bit.
Sure.
So we wandered on to some of the places, La Plaza de España, which is home of the 1928 Iberio American Exposition of 1929. We looked at some of the Moorish Revival architecture there, some of the Spanish architecture there, some of the Renaissance Revival architecture that we saw. And there definitely are Moorish elements in Seville. And they basically include remains of former important Sevillian mosques, currently part of churches in the city, and also the museums. We saw the museums. And we toured some of the neighborhoods and generally had a pretty good time. We really waiting for our luggage, and but had a good time and ate some really great food. Now, the food there is, you can get a variety of food, but we eat a lot of what they call tapas. And tapas are basically smaller
portions yeah.
of food, and you share them.
Right.
So you sit down there, and let's see, we'll have a fish tapas and a chicken tapas.
Sure.
And vegetarian and soup and cheese.
Yeah. Everybody takes a little bite.
Yeah, it's more than a little bite. But
yeah.
I managed to gain weight, even though we walked around and took public transportation when we got there. And that was the key, is that we really were involved in meeting the people, and everybody was very nice. I was really impressed how everybody was nice and helpful, and we really appreciated that. So when you travel, think about that. It's a way of people meeting people. We're not separated by governments and policy. We're just human beings.
And remember that with people that you meet here that are traveling, that you're going to make an impression on them just like they made an impression on you.
That's very true, and
so,
I'm sure they'll be
coming. Be welcoming.
Yes. Hopefully Plymouth. I'm sure Plymouth will be very welcoming next year.
You have a CD called Celebrate. Let's close out this segment with a piece from that.
Yeah. These are selections from the opera Carmen, written by a French composer, Georges Bizet, one of his greatest operas, if not his greatest opera. And it took place in Spain and it has a lot of Spanish elements. And these are selections from that opera. And it features Gil Shaham violin and Claudio Obato conducting the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more from Larry King.
Thank you.
Larry King is with me. I'm Mike Mano on Conducting Conversations, and Larry and I have been discussing his recent trip to Spain, and we talked about Seville, and Larry has just told me how to pronounce Cordoba.
Cordoba, yes.
Yes, yeah. Instead of Cordoba.
Some people say Cordoba, but the Spanish say Cordoba. They put the accent on the first syllable.
So there you go. After leaving Sevilla.
Sevilla, yes.
Sevilla.
Sevilla went to Cordoba.
There you go. Now, tell us just a moment about the language. You arrive in a country with not necessarily English spoken everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. I spent some time reviewing. I'd studied Spanish in college.
Oh, okay.
And so I went online and used a program called Duolingo, which was free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that idea. It was free.
There you go.
I didn't do the whole course, but I did enough to refresh my memory.
So you could say, where's the bathroom?
Sí, ¿dónde está el baño? Which was very helpful. And most of it was in the present tense. I didn't get through the whole course, as I said.
Right.
But I discovered that I hadn't forgotten that much. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty good at reading and writing the language. With the program or the app or whatever you want to call it, there wasn't much opportunity to speak it, but I could kind of mimic the speakers. So I got a sense of it again. And frankly, most people speak English.
Well, there you go.
I would say about 90.
Or they at least get enough to get by, right?
Yes, yeah. And again, they're very helpful.
And again, so much smarter than we are.
They are.
We know nothing about them as a general population.
That's true.
And they know everything about us. It's really interesting as you travel around the world. You find out that Americans are pretty self-centered.
You could say that, and this is one of the niceties of doing your own tour, is you're not just being dragged around on a bus and look at this and look at that.
Right.
You get a chance to really interact with the people.
So what was exciting in that city?
Well, there's a lot of things. Cordoba is in southern Spain, and it was originally a Roman settlement. Was taken over by the Visigoths. Remember them?
Remember that in history. Yeah, sure.
After the fall of the Roman Empire. And then it was followed by the Muslim conquest during the 8th century. And then during this period, it became a center of education and learning. And by the 10th century, it had grown to be the largest city in Europe, Cordoba.
Really?
Yes.
I would have never in a million years guessed that.
Yeah. And so it was a real intellectual center. And and the Muslims, or the Moors, were very intellectual people that were there. So it was conquered by the Kingdom of Castile in 1236 and then became more of a Spanish influence on the culture there. Anyway, it was named as a UNESCO World Heritage Site because of its Moorish architecture, which we enjoyed very much seeing. And much of this architecture includes the Alcazar and the Roman Bridge, and it's been reworked and rebuilt and reconstructed by the city's current inhabitants or successive inhabitants. So they have a real sense of culture and their history. So it worked out very well.
Well, that's amazing. All right. Well, let's get to a piece of music. This time you have a vocal piece for us, right?
It is a vocal piece. It's from a CD called Do You Dream in Color, and it's a selection by Joaquin Rodrigo. It's a barcarolle, and it's sung by Lori Rubin, mezzo-soprano, and Maria Stroke, piano. And it gives you a sense of what the language sounds like. And this is a piece of Spanish music in Spanish, and it's sung.
Schifflein gleitet durch die Flut.
Beautiful music provided by Larry King, and we're taking him a little bit out of his element. Instead of Larry, you producing your own show, you have to answer my questions.
Yes.
And do things the way Conducting Conversations does.
And you're a tough interviewer.
I ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
All right, now we're moving along, and we get to probably the most famous of one of the most famous of Spanish cities, and that's Madrid.
Yeah, we took the train from Cordoba to Madrid. The hotel was right across the street from the train station. And we arrived in Madrid a couple of hours later. It's in Spain's central district. It's in the middle of the country. It's a city, very elegant city, lots of expansive manicured parks and beautiful, elegant boulevards, very clean. It was cool there. It was probably in the 70s, maybe a little cooler at night, mid to high 70s. And we had a great time there. There's a lot of art there. It's a repository of European art, including the Prado Museum, with works by Goya, Velázquez, and other Spanish masters. It's also the Baroque Royal Palace and Armory, which displays historic weaponry. So we toured the Royal Palace, which was the home of the King of Spain. We didn't have lunch with him. I was hoping we could.
No,
we
you
couldn't
didn't.
Pull it off, but
well,
we tried.
Know.
It turns out that Madrid is the fourth most populous urban area in the European Union, with about 6.6 million inhabitants. So it's a big city. It's very clean. Had a great time there. A lot of modern infrastructure. But they've managed to preserve the look and feel of many of its history, its historic neighborhoods, and its streets.
Wow. The size of some of these cities always astonishes me, because sometimes you have an image in your head, if you haven't been there, of a bunch of little houses on a hillside kind
of thing. No, not at all.
It's a modern, clean city.
Modern, clean, but not skyscrapers.
Yeah.
They were off in the distance. You could see them. But they were there, but they preserved the city itself. We did tour the Opera House, which I guess had been damaged at some point and rebuilt. And that was an amazing tour to be in there. It was a self-guided tour. You get one of those little things you hold up to your ear, and it's all in English. So you can find out how important opera is. And it's not just Spanish opera, although they do emphasize that. It's opera from all over Europe.
Interesting.
And you could walk out in this balcony and have a good view of the area between the Opera House and that famous castle.
Hmm.
And it was just a beautiful day and gorgeous experience, and again, people were really very caring.
Excellent. Well, our next piece of music is probably what people would consider traditional.
Yeah.
A lot of guitar music has Spanish influence.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you have for us now?
Well, it's a part of the Concierto de Aranjuez by Joaquin Rodrigo. It's the final movement, and it features guitarist Manuel González.
Thank you.
We are back once again on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Larry King, WCRI's very own Larry King. You can hear him on our station every night, pretty much.
Yep.
And it's been a long time now. About how long have you been associated with the Classical Network?
A long time. Probably since it began, actually.
Since it began, yeah, and that's...
The beginning, which was probably about 2000, 2001.
Yeah, right around. Yep. So getting close to the 20-year point, right?
It is, yes. Yeah.
And
hard to believe.
Hard to believe. Let's get a little bit of personal background since we have some time. People are always curious. You've been working more than 20 years out of more than 20 years out of high school now, right?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I have a reunion coming up, but I don't want to discuss that.
But so what would happen before you get involved with the Classical Network?
Well, I worked at stations in the Boston area.
Uh-huh.
I work for WPLM, which is outside of Boston, and I worked in the Cape Cod for WQRC. I did the morning show there. Uh-huh. But I also worked in Boston. I worked for Magic and Magic 106.7, and I worked for WCOZ, which was a real rock and roll radio station.
You are a
rocker. I always say it was... the best job I had in radio, and it paid a lot of money playing rock and roll.
There you go.
But I really wanted to do classical music, and that's what I did. I had to kind of find my way to WCRB in Boston.
Sure. Yeah.
And I had to meet the program director, and it took me several attempts to get his attention. His name is Mario Mazza.
Right.
And I finally got his attention, and he said, all right, well, send me a tape. So I sent him a tape, call him back, get my tape, send me another one.
Right.
So finally I had a chance to audition, and that's when I started. It was part-time and then became a full-time job, and I became a manager and an announcer, and I really liked working for Charles River Broadcasting. They were an excellent company.
There you go.
And they really treated you like family. So I would say the two highlights of my career were working for John Blair and Company at COZ, WHDH Corporation, and then working for Charles River Broadcasting. Those are the
right.
two highlights.
Which was the originator of WCRI here.
That is correct, right. yes.
And I remember those times of when I first came to WCRI, my background was with Comcast. And when I came to WCRI, I had to send those tapes to Mario too, and I was very taken aback, saying, "What do you mean I've got to send it? What, this guy's going to approve my voice? I've been doing this for years." And so yes, I
could be a tough egg to crack.
Yeah, I do remember.
But you can
that.
Do it.
Yes, that's right.
And you did it.
Yeah, here we are, and all these years later, and it's interesting to get a little bit of background from. People that our listeners hear you on the air all the time. I know when I'm out and about, if I'm making an appearance at a live broadcast somewhere, remote or some function like at the Newport Music Festival, people always come up to me and say, "Oh, I hear you. I listen to you. I listen to you all the time." It's always interesting to me the way that people react to wanting to know more and more about you. And I'm sure you get that all the time, and I've gotten that over the years.
I do. I do some adult education classes, and people ask about my background.
Yeah.
I usually have to provide a very short bio, but
right.
there's we talk about that, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Well, we're on a tour of Spain. And,
sí, señor.
We have kind of gone around the country a little bit, and Larry, you did this all pretty much on your own between you and your son. This was not one of those canned tours, as they say, and you decided where to go and when to go, and you did.
We did.
And it was successful.
Yeah, it was very successful.
All right. So we went now from Madrid to Barcelona.
Barcelona, that is correct, and that's via train again. The trains are wonderful in Europe. And they are on time, and they're very comfortable. So we took the train into Barcelona, arrived at the Barcelona train station. And just a word about Barcelona. It is the pickpocket capital of the world, or at least of Europe, anyway.
Well, there's a word about
Barcelona. And I was careful because we carried our important documents inside our bodies, practically.
Like a money belt kind of thing.
Yeah, money belt on the inside. And,
right.
But again, when you travel, you have suitcases and other
sure.
things. So we were going down to get the subway, and these two women came on in this very small elevator,
mm-hmm.
and one of them managed to steal my sunglasses, which I had purchased from Ocean State Job Lot for about $5. So to me, it was a godsmack.
Right.
You know, be careful. And I was, from that point on, very
right.
careful. So, you know, it's part of traveling.
Yeah.
It could happen in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
It could happen in Providence.
It could happen in Boston.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So be careful when you're traveling.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you support a Rhode Island company, though, Ocean State Job Lot.
Yeah, there you go.
But
well, we had a great time in Barcelona. Barcelona is a very cosmopolitan city. It's the capital of the Catalonia region. Now, in Barcelona, the primary language is not Spanish.
Hmm.
It is Catalan.
Catalan.
Catalan. It sounds a little bit like Spanish, but they're like separatists in a lot of ways. They have their occasionally hear about some demonstrations, et cetera, to separate from Spain.
So would this be kind of equivalent to Montreal?
Quebec. Yeah,
yeah. Secede from Canada kind of thing?
Yeah,
because
it
of
comes
the language.
Up every now and then,
they
don't. But it's an old city. It's been around for a while. It's known for its art and architecture. There's this wonderful church that they're building. It's called the Sagrada Familia. It's a modernist landscape, and they're still building it.
Hmm.
It's a cathedral, essentially, and it's
yeah.
all designed by this architect, and Anthony Gaudí. Gaudí did a lot of architectural work, but he thought outside the box,
mm-hmm.
and we toured some of the stuff that he had designed, some of the buildings, and he died in 1926. And they're still building this cathedral. Well, it takes a while to build a cathedral.
Well, yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Probably, I think they started in the 1800s.
Yeah, take hundreds of years, some of them. I mean,
they do.
Our National Cathedral in Washington was forever and ever.
Forever, yes.
Yeah.
I visited that place.
Right,
I think it was
right.
still under construction when I
yeah,
was there.
Yeah.
But if you look at his architecture, he picks up on nature. So all of the pillars in this cathedral look like trees.
Hmm.
It's very modern.
Yeah.
We got there, it was raining. It was the only day it rained for this whole, you know, 12-day trip,
yeah.
two-week trip. And so we couldn't go to the very top. But I took some nice pictures on the inside, and there was a lot of people there, and it's very inspiring to be in. My son David said he wants to come back when they complete it in 2026. I said, well, go ahead, be my guest.
Well,
I may be in a wheelchair by then.
Well, that's all right. Well,
but
he
that's
can
okay.
push you around.
So he wants to go back. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other things besides the Gaudi architecture in the city. There's the Picasso Museum. Other cultural heritages. It's a major tourist destination. They had the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona. They still have all kinds of conferences, expositions, and international sport compositions also.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of Roman architectural sites to see. So basically there we took the buses and the trains. We stayed at a hotel, which I really love. It was a short walk to the Mediterranean. So we managed to swim in the Mediterranean Sea.
Well, there you go.
And Barcelona is on the Mediterranean. It's a huge port.
Right.
And we could see all of these big freighters that were parked outside, if you will,
mm-hmm.
waiting to come in and unload.
Yeah.
We did go to, I guess you call it a lighthouse. It was a fort originally. We took a cable car up there. That's how high it was,
mm-hmm.
above the ground. We had a good view of the city. We ate paella, as we did in some other cities. Paella is basically it's Spanish rice and lots of seafood.
Well, there you go.
With animals that look back at you, prawns, for example.
Right.
So,
right.
But it was good, and we again continued. We ate a variety of food.
Well,
but Barcelona had Italian food there, and as well as the tapas, which we enjoyed very much.
I just wanted to say thank you for your your tips on travel and your memories of this trip. We have to wrap this up, and we have one more piece of music that we want to listen to before we go. But Larry, thanks so much for coming in. It was great to see you again.
Well, thanks for being here. And this is, we saw a concert in Barcelona with a Barcelona guitar trio. They were hilarious. They were fun. They mm-hmm. spoke Catalan, English, and Spanish. And this is a recording by this guitar trio, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. It really captures the essence of music in Barcelona.
Excellent. Thanks again, Larry. Appreciate all your time and effort. And safe travels to all of you. We'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.